All right, well, a couple weeks ago, I spoke on pride and humility, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, or review a little bit. It's been a couple weeks, and then say a few more things about that. Proverbs 16, verse 18, we'll start there. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. It's a somewhat familiar verse of Scripture, and just something that is quoted a lot. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And so, you know, that's a quoted scripture. Pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit for a fall. You hear a lot of times just pride goes before a fall. I mean, you hear that secular realms, not just Christian people say, you know, somebody falls. Somebody very high profile does something dumb, gets a lot of press or whatever, and they did it in a way that would, you know, look like they were in pride. And what do people say? Well, pride goes before a fall. You know, it's just a problem. Well, it's true. It does. But, you know, we touched on this last time, but I just want to review a little bit. Pride, of course, it does mean arrogance. You know, if you're puffed up, if you think you're, you know, the greatest gift to mankind, and or you think you're the best in whatever area, unnecessary, like an arrogance, egotism, or, you know, narcissism. You're just totally consumed with yourself. That's all pride. That's true. But really, pride, on the flip side, you know, if you're a Christian and you say, I'm just so lowly. I'm the scum of the earth. I don't deserve to be in with God. But oh, thank you, God. Anyway, you know, I'm so unworthy and I'm so lowly, and I just don't think much of yourself. That's pride. It's the same thing. It's the flip side. Because if God tells us in His Word that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if He tells us we've been accepted because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, that we are righteous, that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for us so that we could be right with Him. And He says, I call you now adopted into my family. I call you blessed with all spiritual blessings. And we say, oh no, God, I'm just nothing. Forget it. I'm not worthy. You see how that'd be pride? The King of the universe says, I call you righteous. You stand up. You're right with me. You're a good person. You're my son or daughter. And you say, oh no, no, I'm not. What are you doing there? You're exalting yourself in the presence of God, telling Him He doesn't, basically, you don't know what you're talking about. Ah, yeah, but I'm really lowly. You're just basically telling God, no, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's pride. And a lot of times we, now all the world would call the arrogant, the one that's outwardly, you know, really looks like pride. They would say, oh yeah, that's pride. But a lot of people wouldn't call that pride, what I was just talking about. They would call that humility. But that's not humility. That's pride. Humility is saying whatever God says about you and agreeing with Him. And we went into this, you know, talked about Moses. How Moses, you know, when God came and asked him, we're not going to go through all the scriptures, that's on the web. You know, the messages are on the website if you want to listen to them. But, you know, just to recap a little bit, you know, we know the story. Moses is out in the, you know, backside of the desert, and God comes to him and appears to him in a burning bush and tells him, you know, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was raised. He was, you know, raised as an elite person. He was educated. But then he probably sensed the call of God on his life and tried to take matters into his own hands. And when one of his brethren, he saw an Egyptian harming an Israelite, he went up and he killed the man, and then he buried him. And so then the people kind of called him on it the next day and said, what, you know, he tried to butt into an argument. The people said, what, are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian? And so he fled. And for 40 years he's out there. And so God comes to him and tells him He wants him to speak to Pharaoh. And what does Moses say? Did he say, oh yeah, okay, you've chosen me, I'm ready to go? No, he didn't say that. He said, I can't speak. I can't do it. Why are you sending me? That's pride. That's not humility. That's saying, God, you don't know. And God got, we read it last week, but God got angry with him after a little bit. Because here he is, God Almighty saying, I want you to do this, you can do it. And Moses says, no, I can't. I can't speak. And God said, who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? If I said you can do it, you can do it. But Moses is like, well, I don't know, I can't. And then God says, all right, well, your brother, he can speak. So you're going to tell him what to say and then he'll say it. But God was not happy with that. God didn't say, oh, you're so humble. Yeah, you're right. No, he said, if I tell you you can do it, you can do it. If you've ever had children, and your child, you know they can do something, and you're trying to get them to, no, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do that. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Pretty soon you want to say, I said, you can do it. I'm your daddy. I'm your mommy. You can do it. Listen to me. By you telling me I can't, I don't look at that as humility. I look at it as you're telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. Right? As an adult, as a mother, father, that does not show a sign of respect to you. You don't say, oh, you're so humble, child. You say, you're basically telling me I don't know what I'm saying. You're saying you know more than me. I know. I have your best interest at heart. Do it. It'll work. Same thing. That's what Moses was doing. And I'm just kind of recapping some things we talked about last week. But then later, Moses must have understood some things because Moses later wrote, well, in I believe it was in Numbers, but there was a place where it says, now Moses was the most humble person on the face of the earth. It was talking about a certain incident and it makes that statement. Well, Moses wrote that. Moses wrote that he was the most humble person. Now, most people would say, that's pride. Anybody, you know, you say you're the most humble. Well, if it's true, it's not pride. It's being humble to admit, to say it. You know what? Yeah. Who's the foremost expert in this room on such a subject, such a subject? And if you were the world's leading authority on something, for you to stand up and go, that's me, that's humility. You could do it in pride, you could do it a different way, but if you stood up and said, yeah, I know the most. If that's true, it takes a humble person, because most people wouldn't want to do that because they would think they would look like they were in pride. So anyway, that's a kind of a recap of what we were talking about last week. Just the difference between, you know, what the world often calls pride is really, or they call it humility, is really pride in itself. Anything that you do that's higher or lower than what God says about you is pride. Bottom line is, we want to agree with God. Whatever he says to us, yes, sir, I'm that. Okay, you say I can do it? All right, I can do it. I don't think I can do it, but I can do it. Why? Because you said I could do it. Boy, I don't feel like I'm worthy, God. I feel like you're a million miles away. But your word says that you love me, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So you are. You're here. You love me. I don't feel very righteous. I don't feel like I'm right with you. I feel like you're mad at me. But that's not what the word says. So I'm going to agree with what your word says. That is being humble. That is giving God first place. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 9. That's down at the bottom of your... Well, I don't have your sheet, but it's down near the bottom. I skipped several scriptures. Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. This is contrary to what most people on the earth, even a lot of Christians, would say. Notice what he says here. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. He's talking about what the world would consider success. A lot of times what you would consider, what people would be puffed up about or proud about. What are the things? Number one, wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Didn't say the man wasn't wise, but it says don't glory in wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might or power. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Wealth. Nothing wrong with any of those three things. But what does he say? He didn't say anything was wrong with being wise or mighty or rich. But what did he say? Don't glory in it. Don't put all your attention on it. Don't think you're something because you have any of those things. But what does he say? If you're going to glory, again, that's not pride when it's centered on God. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. This is the Lord God speaking. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. See, he says, don't glory. Don't seek after and glory knowledge or power. And you think of it. The things that people look at or exalt. Knowledge and wisdom, that you'll say something that affects everybody. People want to have an influence, whether it's in the, you know, I want to write books or I want to speak. I want to speak to a large audience or I want to be famous. Knowledge, wisdom, people want to hear what I have to say. Or power, I want to be a ruler or I want to exert influence over people. Or riches, money. Those are the big three things that people will seek and then think they're somebody. But what does God say? Don't glory in any of those things. He didn't say any of them are wrong. And we've talked about that before. If you seek God first, God does not care about us having riches. He doesn't care about us being, you know, wise or having exerting a lot of influence. If we're first looking to Him, then all those things are really underneath our ability to follow Him, and we can use those for His glory. But He says, don't glory in any of those things, but glory in what? Knowing Him. Just knowing Him. Just knowing our God. He says that's the thing that we ought to look to in glory. And how many people, really, when we think about our consciousness, just the culture and everything, how many people would, if you lined people up, if I had four people up here and said, this guy right here is one of the most powerful people in the world. You know, he exerts influence. This guy, one of the smartest, so educated, written books, and I can name names, so I'm not going to do that. You know, written books that have changed the world, or he's come up with theories that have changed the way we do everything. This man over here, consistently on Forbes' list of richest people, right at the top all the time. And then I had this person over here and said, this man knows God Almighty and has an intimate relationship with Him. If you lined them up, I would wager a majority of people, if you had to say, now which one would you want to be, most people wouldn't choose the last one. Most people wouldn't be proud of that. Most people would think, I want to be one of these people. But God says, don't do that. And He's the King. He's the one that created everything. He said, to know me. Do you realize each person, all of us, we can know Him and we can go further in that this week? We may not be the richest person, the most powerful, or the wisest, but each of us can get to know Him better this week. And He said, if you're going to be proud of something, if you're going to look at something, do glory in that, that you know Him. Just to have a relationship with Him, like we were speaking a few minutes ago, just in praise and worship and then after, that we have the ability to know Him. That when we worship Him, He's not turning a deaf ear to us, that He hears us. That we have an audience with the wisest being in the world, in the universe, in existence, the most powerful, and by all accounts, the richest. I mean, people think I have gold. Well, God has the whole earth and all the galaxies and everything. He created gold. Gold is used as a pavement in heaven. Yet people say, oh, that's not, I want to be one of these other people, but we can know him. Man, if we know him, everything else falls. If we know him, if we know the one that holds all, we have everything. Everything we need, because we're his child. And he said, what did he say the rest of that verse? He said, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. See that you know this, that you understand it. I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. To know him and know that he loves exercising loving kindness and righteousness and judgment. That we know him. To really know him. Thank God. That is what he says. If you're going to glory in anything, glory in this. Just that you know me and you know my character. And that is something to be pursued in our lives. Let's turn over to Psalm 33. See, it takes, we're talking about pride and humility, and this in the context of that. We could go different directions with this. But when you want to do things your own way, when you would say, I don't care about God, I don't care what he says, I don't care what the Bible says. You know, people say this all the time. Bible is just a bunch of stories. It's just a bunch of words. Doesn't really mean anything. I mean, if you line those four people up, he believes in God. Well, is there a God? Prove it to me. This guy, you know, he's invented all this stuff. This guy's got more money than that guy. That guy, he believes in a God. Who cares about God? What are you doing? You're exalted. That's pride. See, God is not concerned about people having things. Or knowing things. It's when we say, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I'd rather have something else. I'm going to go after that. That's pride. The humble person says, yeah, that's nice, but I'm going after God first. And I may become the richest person in the world. I may become the most powerful person, or I may become the wisest person, but my first allegiance is to him. And even when I get to those and achieve all these accolades, I say, God, I give all glory unto you. Lord, I may be the wisest person on the face of the earth right now, but, Lord, I'll use my life for your glory. You see the difference? That's a humble person. It's not the person that follows after everything else. And we just check up on ourselves in our own lives. Psalm 33, verse 16. It says, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. So he's enumerating things that we would tend to trust in. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall deliver any by its great strength. He's saying again, God says it in multiple places. Don't look to your resources or your external things. Look to me. A humble person will look to him. A proud person will say, I'm going to do it my own way. God, schmod, I don't care. I don't need anybody else. I'm a self-made man. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. That's pride. That's pride. The humble person will go after God. Turn back a little further. Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. See, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Well, you could say today, some trust in their riches. Some trust in their great education. Some trust in the power that they have. But we'll trust in God. Regardless of what's going on in our life, that we'll look to him. In this day and age, we know, we see it on the news all the time. Now, I don't care how much money you have. I read a story of somebody. A bomb went off in a hotel. They were I don't know if they were on vacation or just on business or whatever. But they were walking, this was overseas, and they were walking through the hotel lobby and a bomb went off right outside. Blew the glass all through, you know, into the lobby and everything. And the person looked around and they saw people flying by them. And then they saw people bleeding and everything, and they say, "What happened? Why aren't I hurt?" And right when that bomb went off, they walked right behind this pillar. And this was a believing Christian. That person, the bomb went off in the lobby, they were walking right behind this pillar at that exact moment. And it was a huge pillar. Everything went by them, and they were not touched by that. Now, I don't care what you have in your bank account. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you're the most powerful person on the face of the earth. You cannot avoid a bomb that you don't know is going to go off. You can't do it. It's impossible. But God can. But God can protect us. And right now, there are people that would love to kill you and I, and they're willing to blow themselves up to do it. I don't care what security measures we have, what we put in place. We're always playing catch-up with somebody that's willing to do that. And that can only take us so far until the next person figures out something else to get away. But God always sees ahead, and He's made provision. And our God can protect us no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. I don't care if there's a nuclear attack. I don't care what happens. We've heard all this stuff. See, that's where all these things, where the Bible says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we'll trust in the name of our God. When everybody else is cowering, we'll say, "My God, my family is safe because I trust You, because I look to You. God, my house is safe. Though 1,000 may fall at my left hand and 10,000 at my right, it shall not come near me." See, that's humility. God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care. You know, I hear all these reports, but I choose to believe You. I look to You. Whereas the alternate would be, nobody can break our defense. We're too smart. We'll outwit them. We're too powerful. We have, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, I'm saying that would be the thought. We're too military strong. Our military is too strong to be defeated. How many cultures in history have thought that? No, but when we look to our God, doesn't matter. Now, my bank account is too big. I can't go down. Oh, yeah? There's things that can take out a bank account, too. I don't care how big it is. Reputations could be destroyed. How many times have we seen it? Somebody looks like they're on top of the world and something happens. Not only do they end up destitute, but their reputation's destroyed. No. We trust in our God, in our King. Let's turn over to Philippians. We'll close with this, the Apostle Paul. Let's go actually to verse 7. We might read some of the stuff in verse 2. See, Paul is saying in verse 7, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." Paul is saying, Paul the Apostle, the one who wrote a good portion of our New Testament, he's saying, all my background, and he get in verses 2 through 7, he talks a little bit about his background. He said, is that if anybody wants to boast, look. In verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision, he's Jewish, who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in what we've accomplished. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He says, I'm not a nobody. If you want to talk about what people have accomplished, I've accomplished a few things. He says, if anyone else thinks he has more confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness of the law, blameless. So he's saying, look, I've been educated with the best. I've kept the law. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've done things in the natural, but that's not where my trust is. I'd throw it all out. I'm not proud and looking to that. I'm saying I would throw all that out just for the knowledge of Him, just for the knowledge to know God. I'd throw my education, my power, my stature, everything, I put it aside just to know You, Jesus, just to know You and to look to You and to worship You. Lord, I put it all aside. That's what He's saying. He's not saying it was bad to have an education. He's not saying it's bad to have any of these other things. He's saying, I subject all that to the knowledge of my God. And that is true humility. That's a humble servant. That's somebody that says, look, I'm going to do everything I can to serve Him, but I don't put my confidence in that. I put my confidence in Him, and I do everything I can to use it for His glory. Amen.